Okay, so just to mention something about the end of the parsha. So how does the parsha end? What's the final part of Parshat Shlach? It's the mitzvah of tzitzit. And we've talked about in the past, though I don't remember whether it was whether you guys were here or at this point I have no idea, that if you read carefully, and I'll give you the summarized version of this, if you read carefully, it seems clear that the purpose, one level of the purpose of tzitzit, or at least a perspective on tzitzit, is that tzitzit are somehow being offered as the solution to the problems of the Meraglim. Now, how do you get something like that? So, first of all, if I ask you, what are the Meraglim called in Bamidbar? The answer is never Meraglim. They're only called Meraglim in Dvarim. What are they called here? Right, what is the verb that is used consistently? So Moshe tells them, Shlach lecha anashim v'yaturu at Eretz Canaan. Right, latur, which in modern Hebrew is to tor, right, which is similar, but you know, it has a similar meaning. But why does it matter? Why does it matter that that it uses the word latur and not l'ragel? So in this context, it's because what does tzitzit do? The tzitzit will make you not tor. Right? Now, what won't it make you tor after? Latur after? Acharei levavchem, va'acharei. And how will it do that? If you look, uritem, right? If you look, right? Right? Uritemoto, right? If you see, then you'll remember, right? So the key words are ri'ya, are lotaturu, are einichem, are livavchem. And if you run through the parasha of the Meraglim, you'll find that these words come up a lot. Obviously, viatur, right? Viaturu, they went latur ha'aretz, vayishuvu mitur ha'aretz, right? That is the word that is used to describe their spying. But it's not just that. Moshe also tells them, Uri'item et aretz mahi. And you'll see what it is. And what do they say? V'gam yilidei ha'anak ra'inu sham. And it's not just ri'iyah, but what else do you have? You have specifically, right, Einehem, right? V'sham ra'inu et ha'nifilim b'nei anak min ha'nifilim v'anihi ve'einenu kichagavim v'cheinayinu. B'einayhem, right? That's how we were in their eyes, and that's how they were in our eyes. And in the next perek, when you talk about the punishment, God says, "Why am I punishing you so badly? Because you should have known better. Why should you have known better?" V'amru el yoshev haaretz hazot shamu ki ata Adonai bekerav am hazeh asher ayin ba'ayin yireh ata Adonai v'anancha omer aleihem v'avunanan ata olech mehem yomam v'layim v'nish layim. Sorry, Moshe saying why what people will say, the Jewish people are those who saw them ayin ba'ayin, right? They see God, right? So the emphasis of ri'ya, of latur, of ayin, it emphasizes the way in which at some level and even the punishment, right? Especially in Dvarim, im yireh ish anashim eila dorah, right? They will not see the land, right? So tzitzit somehow is the inverse. Now, how could that be? So there are many different theories about this, and obviously it comes up in other places. You know, and I think in the past I've mentioned Dan Ariely's treatment of this. You know, Dan Ariely? So Dan Ariely uses tzitzit as one of his proofs that the world has always understood the power of symbolic reminders, right? So he has a very famous a few studies that he really likes that before a test. They did an experiment. They told people they would take a test and they get money for every answer they got right. And before the test started, they asked half of them to try to remember the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, and half of them just to remember 10 books from their high school reading list. And they found that even that the people who remember the Aseret HaDibrot cheated less. Right. In fact, no one in that group cheated. And this is even when they didn't remember the Aseret HaDibrot. It was the very reminder of something that points you in the direction. He specifically, in his book, The Honest Truth About Dishonesty, uses the Gemara in Menachot Mem Dalet, right, of the person who goes after the prostitute and then backs off when his tzitzit hit him in the face, as proof of Chazal's understanding of how a minor thing can remind us to be the people we already want to be. Right? It's just a little symbolism. So you could just say that that's all tzitzit is. However, right, Chazal obviously didn't stop there. And Chazal say, no, it's more than that. The Tchelet, what does it do? It reminds you about the sea. And the sea reminds you to the Rakia. And the Rakia reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod. So you think about God. And on the continuation of that Gemara, it compares it to the sign of an Eved. Right? So it could be that it points you towards God. It points you to, reminds you that you're an Eved. It could be that that's all true. That Tzitzit is just telling you need a reminder, maybe a reminder of God, and that's enough. But I was listening to the one of the new Aleph Beta podcasts this week. They have a few new ones. One is Meaningful Judaism, I think, which goes through Tamei HaMitzvot. And they suggest something I'm still digesting, but I wanted to share it with you. And they said, right, that, look, you might think that one way to avoid Aveirot is the, let's say, the Nevardic approach, right? Nevardic approach of Mussar, I'm paraphrasing here, right? Which is you're horrible, right? You're nothing. But historically, if you know this, there were two schools of Mussar, right? If you went to Aidardic, he might have told you this, right? There was Nevardic, which was you're terrible. And then there was Slabodka, which is they focus on Gadlut HaAdam. You're great, so it's beneath you to sin. And that was their derech of Mussar, right? Insisting on people always dressing properly and clean and dignified so that you would feel that sin was beneath you. So what they suggest in this podcast, I think it was mostly Emu Shalev who was giving this part of it, he said, well, think about why did the Meraglim sin, right? So the Meraglim sinned because they gave up hope. And why did they give up hope? That they could fight, that they could win. Because we saw ourselves in there, right, as grasshoppers, and that's how we were in our eyes. And Yoshua and Kalev, who succeed, how do they succeed? We can do it. God is with us. We can conquer. It's going to be easy. Right? So the interesting thing here is that the quote-unquote, what you would see is humility leads to disaster, right? And I wouldn't say arrogance, but the confidence leads to success, right? The Meraglim say, right, they forget God's on their side, and therefore they imagine that people think them as grasshoppers, and that's how they see themselves. So they say, we can't do it. We're too weak. Right, Yoshua and Kalev think about God, and that gives them confidence. We can do it. So what they suggest is maybe that is part of what's going on here, is that the tzitzit, but reminding you of the sea, which reminds you of the sky, which reminds you of God, right? And even if that's many layers away, it points to the fact that, you know, I'm going to paraphrase and don't say this exactly what they're saying, but that it points to your greatness or your potential for greatness. And tzitzit is there for that type of musar. It's saying, right, don't, if you think you're nothing, then you'll fail because you have no hope in yourself. You're too weak. But if you remember that you are, and this connects to the fact that Tchelet is also traditionally, historically, the royal blue, right? So to have a little bit of royal clothing on you, to have something that reminds you of God, to remind you that you're royal, that you're connected to God, as opposed to your chagavim, at some level, you can see how this maps on to the failure of the Meraglim and the success of Yoshua and Kalev, where the Meraglim, because they forgot about God in the picture and thought of themselves as bugs, right? So they gave up and ended up rebelling against God, and a little bit of well-placed confidence by Yoshua and Kalev, remembering who they were, remembering with whom they are aligned, gave them the confidence that we can do the seemingly impossible. And to say that at some level that's what prevents you from sinning, right, is to have that confidence. Remember, you are the servant of God, that God is on your side. Therefore, you're not nothing. Therefore, it's beneath you to sin. You have the power. At some level, that's the perspective change that tzitzit can bring, I think, is definitely an interesting addition to the this broader picture of what exactly, not just that it is a reminder, but that it's reminding you of something in specific that gives you the confidence to not just fall prey to your base desires, but to actually overcome them. Okay, so we'll leave it with that.